a woman clothed with the sun, with a moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Now the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Now the woman fled into the desert, to the place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then there came a loud voice from heaven saying, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." Now, when the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Now, the woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for in the desert, where she would be taken care of by God for 3.5 years out of the serpent's reach. But then, from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with a torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, and he went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his throne and his power and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? I mean, who can make war against him?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise his authority for 3.5 years. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. And he was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every nation, tribe, people, and language. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. All whose names have not been written in the book of life belong to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patience and endurance on the part of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf. And he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Now, because of the signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak. And to cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. See, these are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They were purchased as firstfruits to God and to the Lamb. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. Then I saw an angel flying in midair, having the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation and tribe and people and language. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Now a second angel followed him and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships a beast in his image or receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast in his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name." This calls for patience, endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." Then I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then I saw an angel coming out of the temple. He called in a loud voice to him who was seated on the cloud. He said, "Take your sickle and reap, for the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Another angel came out of the temple, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel, who had charge of the fire, came from the altar. He called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle. He said, "Take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe." The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as a horse's bridles for a distance of 180 miles. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign. The seven angels were the seven last plagues. Last because with them, God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire. And standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast in his image and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. It's great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. True and just are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this, I looked, and in heaven, the temple, that is the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chest. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. And I heard a loud voice coming from the temple. It said to the seven angels who had the seven plagues, "Go and pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth." The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land. And ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and on the springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the water say, "You are just in these judgments, you who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged. For they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, as they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues. But they refused to repent of what they had done. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains in their souls. But they refused to repent and glorify him. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the world to gather them together for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. And there came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. Well, no earthquake like it has ever occurred since man has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon men. And they cursed God on account of the plague of hail. because the plague was so terrible. Now one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." And the angel carried me away in the spirit to a desert. There, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names, and had seven heads and ten horns with ten crowns on its horns. Now the woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The beast you saw once was, now is not, and yet will come up out of the abyss and go to its destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life, belong to the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, now is not, and yet will come. Now this calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. They are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not come yet, but when he does come, he must remain for a little while. Now the beast who once was and now is not is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw, where the prostitute sits, are peoples, nations, multitudes, and languages. The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. Now the woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth." After this, I saw a mighty angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great! She's become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard a voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins have piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her cry. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit as queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn.' Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her: death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her." Now when the kings of the earth, who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury, see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe! Oh, great city, oh Babylon, city of power! In 1 hour your doom has come." Now the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their cargoes anymore. cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls, fine linen, purple silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind, made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon and spice, incense, myrrh and frankincense, wine and olive oil, fine flour and wheat, and cattle and sheep, and horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, the fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, whoa, whoa, great city, dressed in fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Now every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, was there ever a city like this great city? They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, whoa, great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour, your doom has come. Rejoice over her, O heavens. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. For God has judged her for the way she treated you. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone, and he threw it into the sea, and he said, with such great violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpers and musicians will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of the saints and of the prophets and of all who have been killed on the earth. After this, I heard what sounded like a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are His judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of His servants. And again they shouted, hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. Now the four living creatures and the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen! Hallelujah! Then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Well, at this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets and of all who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Then I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, bright and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the fury of the winepress of the wrath of God Almighty. See, on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, who cried out in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair. He said, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slaves, small and great." Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, and he bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until 1,000 years are ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. And I saw thrones on which was seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. See, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, when 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that are in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that are in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said to me, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink, without cost, from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the idolaters, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high. And he showed me Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, as clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 in the north, 3 in the south, and 3 in the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now the angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod, and he found it to be 1,500 miles in length, and as wide and high as it is long. He measured its wall, it was 215 feet thick, by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, like transparent glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was made of pure gold, as pure as glass. Now I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. See, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit and yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. See, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." The one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers the prophets and of all who hold to the words of this book. Worship God." Then the angel said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. But let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the murderers, the sexually immoral, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come! And let him who hears say it, come! Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take. Free gift of the water of life. I want everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Yeshua. The grace of the Lord Yeshua be with God's people. Amen. Amen. What a blessing to be able to share the free gift of the water of life, the most precious substance in creation. I never know when I'm sharing who's never been offered that gift. I never know when I'm sharing which one of you it'll be the last time God offers that gift to you. And I never know when it'll be the last time I'll be able to be used by God to share that. But I know it's precious. I don't want you to waste your inspiration. Coming out of Hollywood, I was very aware right away as I started presenting the scriptures that what I was doing wasn't just entertainment. The Bible, the scriptures, God's words have a double-edged sword. They are truly a blessing to those who hear and heed, who seek to obey. But they are a curse if we decide we don't want to obey them, we don't want to listen to them, we don't want to heed them. And I just felt a burden, so much so that I just thought, God, what do I do? And he quickly showed me all throughout the scriptures how Yeshua is always showing and telling. There was a physical manifestation of his teaching. He didn't just heal or just teach. He healed, he fed, he met real needs while he was sharing who God was. And so years ago, we partnered with an organization called Food for the Hungry. They're an amazing Christian relief organization. Many of you know about child sponsorship. You might have been doing it other places. You know how powerful it really is. But we're here in this country. We have the ability to completely change the future of families for a very small amount. We can share the gospel with people who actually want to hear the gospel, are thirsty for God's word. And we can change their whole future, their education, their lives. And that's what we do. We've got thousands of kids and their families sponsored. Food for the Hungry is amazing because their strength is their discipleship. They go into the poorest places on the planet with a goal of discipling the next generation of the church and teaching the village to be self-sufficient, to be able to have clean water, stop the spread of disease, and feed themselves. And that takes on the low end 4 or 5 years, and the high end 8 or 9 years. We pulled out of 278 villages last year alone. Poverty is a problem that the church is all over. We are reducing poverty. People don't. I don't think we get enough pats on the back for that as the church. Poverty is decreasing, and the church has been God's main tool of doing that. So these kids, I've been overseas several times in the mission field with the workers for Food for the Hungry. I just went to the Dominican Republic. We sponsored a boy who's 14 years old. When they get 13 or 14, it's hard for them to get sponsorships. They're just not as cute. And so, but that's the point, in particular with the boys, that they get tempted to go into different things. Either they're recruited or they get a gang, and basically they get tempted to do things that are illegal, because they don't have an opportunity to get an education. And so we sponsored Fraylin, tall and skinny, Dominican Republic, and we had exchanged one letter with him before I went over. It was Christmas time, and all I knew was that he wanted to become a professional baseball player. And I cracked up, because that's all I know about the Dominican Republic. At least that's all I knew before I went. They crank out some major ball players. So when I got over there, I brought him a bat and some gloves and some balls. Now I've been to Africa, Philippines, you know, all around the world. And I know before I go, particularly to a third world country, I know God's going to break my heart. But even though I'm braced for it, it happens every time. And we pulled up to Fraylin's house. It was about, you know, you could put it on the stage. It was about 12 by 12. It was just made up of sticks and plastic from what you'd find on the side of the road. I could have just pushed it over with one hand. And he came out, and he's all skinny, and he saw me, and I handed him the glove and the balls, the bat, and he just started grinning. He couldn't even say anything. And so Carlos, he just turned 25. He was our interpreter. And Carlos proceeds to tell me that Fraylin's the oldest of six kids, and there's no man in the house. And he's telling me that as he's telling me, the kids are coming out of the house. And I'm thinking, how many people are in there? Mom comes out, I think maybe 16 months, was the youngest one, on her hip. And she gave me a look that I just never forget. You know, some people look at you in a way. You ever had somebody look at you in a way you just didn't deserve? You just didn't deserve it. And almost they looked at you in such a way that you were ashamed that they thought that good of you. That's the look she gave me. So Fraylin had fresh water. His whole family did. Fraylin was able to go to school instead of carry water for, they were about 3 miles away from their water source. That's all he did. He'd go back and forth two, three times a day. So his whole life was changed. And as I sat there drinking my little bottle of water with my little tourist hat on and, you know, sunglasses, it hit me. How many people standing right here that ever even tasted water this good, this clean? And I just took it for granted. I've been leaving bottles in the van or whatever, you know, just not even thinking about it. It's just what we don't think of. Well, Carlos, our interpreter, he said, I'm going to take you to my house. So I went and I met Carlos's parents, and it was at they were in another village. And Carlos had been working for Food for the Hungry for 10 years. And he was just about to get his master's degree. He was like 2 weeks away from finishing. And he said he went to work for Food for the Hungry because he was a sponsored child when he was five. And, you know, here's this guy. He was a spiritual giant. He was praying with people, making life or death decisions. That was his job. And you were just like, oh, okay, let me just tag along. I mean, you know, you realize people are sharing the gospel with people they don't know are going to live the next day. And they're asking God to heal someone because there's no doctor to send them to. You know, now in Fralin, if Fralin gets something, instead of there's a one-room hospital that has a nurse that she pretty much kind of does everything there. She's the everything nurse. But the closest hospital is about 220 miles away from Fralin. So they drive him. If anything happens to him, he gets a cold or anything, they drive him all the way to the hospital to get real help. Because he's sponsored. We won't sponsor a child to die. But if you've been encouraged, consider picking up one of those kids back there. It's only $35 a month. You can do it for as long or as short as you like. Like I say, they will send you a letter saying, after a few years, this village is self-sufficient. We've reached the goal. You can continue to correspond with your child, but would you like to sponsor a different child? So they're very good stewards. Just pick up those picture folders. Don't walk off of them because there's just one for each one of those guys there. There's a form inside. Open it up. Pull the form out. It's perforated. Tear it off. Fill that out. And there's an envelope there. Put that in the envelope and hand it to, I'll be back here at the table or somebody will be there. Hand that to us and you can take the picture part home. And in about 2 weeks, you'll get an updated picture of your child. You'll be able to start corresponding with them, just like I do with Fralin. A lot of the kids we can email. And anything you write them, any verse, they will read over and over again and keep as long as they can. So talk about influence, our ability to influence people with the scripture and with who God is. We have it. We just have to realize sometimes it's not in our backyard. Sometimes it's across the world. There are people hungry that want to hear the gospel. And God gives us the opportunity to do that. So thank you in advance for doing that. And thank you for blessing me and allowing me to be here. It is, I'm just the mailman. And when I got saved, I said, God, wherever you take me, I'll go. And I'm not going to use an excuse that I want to be watching a football game, or that the church is too small or too big, or whatever my excuse is. If you open the door and I can go, I'll go. And so that's the commitment I've made, and God has faithfully provided for us. So thank you for considering giving to our ministry. We're growing. We have tons of opportunities, and I can't get to all of them enough. But I need you to continue to pray for our protection and for boldness, and that God continues to open doors for his word to go out. Because we're in a dark world right now. That's why it's really critical that we're holding up the truth of God's word. You realize we have the scriptures, Yeshua. This is the answer for every problem in the news, every problem the world has. We have to hold that high. We have God's promise that he will do the rest. We have to lift that. We cannot shrink back from that. So thank you for having me and indicating that. There's some we have some ministry brochures. If you're like me, I don't carry cash. I have three kids, so cash in my wallet never stays. There's a form on the back of those brochures. You can tear that off if you want to be on our mailing list. Let know when I'm going to be back here again, be connected on Facebook or whatever. You can put your information on that. You can give electronically, a credit card or whatever, put it in that envelope for your privacy. And take the other part of it, the brochure part, put that in your Bible or put it on your refrigerator door, just as a reminder to pray for us from time to time. God's word, we need to pray that it goes out because we know it's going to transform and change people, just like it's changed us. I'm here because God's word got a hold of me, wouldn't let me go. And I'm sowing it because I know the power of God's word. There may be one scripture I've said today that just God may use to run you down. We know that's how God works. So we're just sowing while we have the opportunity. So thank you in advance for that. I guess we could do, you want me to do any Q&A? There were some things you wanted to ask me. I figured maybe I could try to answer some of them now, you know, for people. So, okay. I memorize the 84 NIV. I do some of the books I do in the ESV. And the resources I have are in the English Standard Version. I have the rights to that. So we recorded them in that. I do. I have the New Testament recorded in the English Standard Version also. Morgan Freeman, I was telling Pastor, right as I had finished memorizing Revelation and God wanted me to perform it, a friend of mine was matchmaking and came to me and said, I've got this great girl I want you to meet. And she just became the president of Morgan Freeman's film production company. And you guys have just make a great pair. And I'm like, okay. So I met her and we kind of hit it off and we started dating. And I was trying to figure out, okay, are we equally yoked? Are we unequally yoked? Is this what God wants? Isn't it? And all the while, I'm hanging out with Morgan Freeman and, you know, every star you can think of. So Morgan Freeman's film production company that she was running is called Revelation Productions. And it's still there now. You see some films, you'll see there she produces those. So Morgan was throwing scripts to me saying, hey, you know, just tell the director, call him up, tell the director that you're this part and to stop looking. You know, and he would just throw scripts at me. And I kept thinking, should I or shouldn't I? God, what am I supposed to be doing here? Is this where I'm supposed to be? So I had some great friends with me. They were praying and fasting. And I told them, I said, look, before I meet anybody, I want you to tell me, I want you to be honest with me. You know, when I can't see clearly, I need you to come to me and tell me, thumbs up or thumbs down on this person and why. Don't just give me the, I'm not going to talk to you about it because I don't want to get you mad. Just tell me the truth because I want everybody's discernment. You know, I really want God's will. So everybody kept telling me, all my godly friends kept telling me the same thing. I as much as I'd like to see it be what God wants you to do, I still think this is where He's pointing you. And so I began to see that clearly, and I made a choice. I chose to, I broke up with Lori because I felt we were unequally yoked. I was taking the Word of God seriously, and she really wasn't. And I sold everything I owned. I left my $100,000 a year job in Beverly Hills and moved to New Jersey, moved here, Morristown, and went to work for a ministry with a person, the only person I knew that was doing presenting the scriptures full time. And God blessed me. Two months later, I met my wife in Elizabeth, New Jersey. I was doing Revelation. I started the first few lines. I looked up out in the audience. There's this girl out there sleeping. She's asleep already. I was like, hey, this thing can't be that bad. You're asleep already. What happened? Well, she was flight attendant. She'd flown all night, and she came. And so she sat down. But anyway, so God put somebody in my audience, and it was, interesting. But God, in other words, God blesses us when we seek His will for our life, and it's worth being patient. And so, no, I don't think Morgan is a believer. He has a real animosity towards the church. Won't stop praying for him. You never know. You know, I think there are going to be a lot of surprises in heaven, a lot of last minute, Lord, and God, a lot of thief on the cross moves, a lot more than we expect. I think there'll be a lot of people who will go, you're here, because they cried out for mercy at the last minute because people like us have been praying for him. So. Any other questions? Yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah. No problem. Yeah. That's how I wind up places. People see me someplace. We got to bring you here. Great. Keep spreading the word. Anybody else? Any other question? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's God's promises. That's God's promise, and I know when we're there, you can be like, I wasn't even close, Marquis. But yeah, I feel like I have a little teaspoon, and I'm bending over at the dock trying to flick some salt water. It's kind of like this, but it's just so massive, So I know when we're there, it'll be like, no big deal. Oh, by the way, there's some great resources at the table. There are a few books that are really good. Just drive you into the scriptures when if you're interested in the end times at all, rapture, all that stuff. If you were like me, you were frustrated early on. I've got books that, they don't say, hey, this is my position. They just say, look, these are all the scriptures for this position, for that position, for that. So it really drives you into the scriptures because when Jesus returns, there will be no denominations. There will be no different positions on this or that. we will all have to adjust our theology to the reality of the return of him. And that's what the first church had to do. The disciples were adjusting. They were recalculating because they had these preconceived notions of, oh, this is supposed to happen, or this is supposed to happen now, and they kept adjusting. Or they hadn't thought about that scripture even being a prophecy. So those that were the slowest to, who didn't think they needed to keep watching, had the most difficult time with Jesus coming the first time, because they were locked in. They saw it a certain way, and they were so locked in, they assumed they didn't need to know anything else. And Jesus, fulfilling his first coming, he humbled a lot of people. You know, there were three wise men and Simeon and Anna, that's about it, who really were right where they were supposed to be and knew what was going on. But everybody else was faked out of their shorts. And Jesus, he predicts that we will largely be. He warns us about it. So after 20 years of speaking this, I'm still learning and discovering and looking and searching. And I'm uncovering amazing things that were right in front of me still. So when we're looking forward, it's a humbling process. But if we're humble enough to be thirsty to learn, God honors that, and he will continue to feed us. If we think we got it, he will stop feeding us. So that's my overall advice on that. So thank you. Again, thank you for sharing.